December the 22nd, three games to get through. We made it. Apologise for the lateness of the show. I wasn't expecting the Pelicans and Nuggets to go to overtime, but it gives us a little bit extra to talk about. This is the Sunday post-game show. Let's go balls deep. I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm your host, Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. We are part of the old man squad. Three games, but actually a bit to talk about. I know there was chat going on. I don't think there were actually any questions, though. I think it was just people talking about the game. Yep, it was. Let's get into the games. First one, Indiana at Sacramento. Sacramento, they look pretty rough at the moment. The Boo Birds were out. The crowd didn't like the result, didn't like the effort from Sacramento, and rightfully so, I guess. Let's start with Indiana, though. The good story here. They played well, four wins in a row. Look, Halliburton still not back where we want him to be or expect him to be, but 14-8, no steals, shooting was okay. Honestly, they didn't need him to do a lot here in this one. Pascal Siakam, much the same. This is fine, but not great. Considering no one really had a standout game here, I think tells you a lot about how bad Sacramento were. And when you're getting 14 Thomas Bryant minutes, TJ McConnell double-doubled off the bench, 12 and 10 with seven rebounds, this really, I mean, if you forgot to drop TJ or just hadn't got around to it, like me in a league, I'll take 10 assists from TJ McConnell. Actually not a lot for the Pacers to talk about here. Nembhard didn't play a ton here. This could have been part of his, the thought process of we're winning this one pretty easily. We don't need to push a guy that is still coming back from injury. Obi Toppin had 11, 3, 2, and 1. He's very borderline still. He's playing well, but limited minutes. Let's look at Sacramento, though. What will we start with? Let's start with the good. There's not much good here. Sabonis had 17 and 21, but led the team in shot attempts. I talked about this yesterday. I don't think he should be leading the team in shot attempt, but at the moment he just has to. Numbers are pretty good here for Sabonis in terms of production. A minus 26 is not ideal. De'Aaron Fox had 23 and 7 with a steal. He was okay as well today. That's pretty much where the good news ends. Keegan Murray, just drop him. I'm just gonna say you can drop him. Based on what we've seen, yes, he might get going at some point, but geez, it's been rough. Malik Monk was a little bit better in this one. 14 points, one assist really just tells you how poor the team was shooting. Monk is still a must-roster player. Kevin Huerter is not. Keon Ellis, only 5 minutes. I don't know what their issue is with Keon Ellis. I'm not saying he's this sort of game-changing difference maker or anything, but when you're rolling out Doug McDermott, Trey Lyles, Kevin Huerter, like just get Keon Ellis on the floor. And DeMar DeRozan. Let's talk about DeMar DeRozan. 2 points, one of seven shooting, two rebounds, two assists, zero steals, zero threes. It's about as it gets for DeMar. He is obviously a very huge buy low at the moment. There's not much you can do. He's obviously not a drop. he's not someone you want to be actively selling now because you will not get anything back in return. So you really just have to grin and bear it. I know that's not the news people want to hear. Let me just bring up where is Tamar? I just want to have a look at his rank, just so I can give you a bit of an idea of who you could be throwing out for DeMar DeRozan. Okay. So top 50 for the season. So season numbers, fine. That's about where we had him, top 50. Even if you go last month, he's top 100. I think you could probably throw out a top 80 player, maybe. I think that would be fair. I mean, you could make a case that DeRozan might only be a top 80, top 70 player rest of season. I think he'll be better. But who could you throw out? Norm Powell. Desmond Bane is an interesting one. They're both buy lows. Kobe White. I'd probably take DeMar over Kobe White. Who else have we got in there? Tobias Harris. There's two rough. I'm not sure Tobias Harris would get it done. That's who I'd be looking at. I'd be throwing out top 80 kind of players. Shining Knight asks, Beal. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd rather have DeRozan than Beal. Like I said, I still think DeRozan will be top 50 moving forward, where I don't think Beal has that upside anymore. I think Beal is down in that top 80 range. So, yeah, I think Beal would be okay. Shingun, I would hold Shingun over DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. All right. Next game. Let's just get that off there. What am I doing? No, I want searching, clicking the wrong buttons. Houston at Toronto. Houston get the win, 114-110. I did say on the pregame show I felt like this was going to be close, and it was. And that was with RJ Barrett playing. He was a late scratch, so that was great. Let's start with Houston, though. Yeah, Şengün, 17, 10, and 5, 3 steals, 2 blocks. He's very good. Yeah, don't go moving Şengün for DeRozan. Dylan Brooks is on a hell of a heater at the moment, so pick him up, grab him. I guarantee this is not going to last. But 27 points, 13 of 14 from the line. Yeah, not going to happen again all too often. Jabari Smith, 15 and 9 with 3 blocks. I thought this was a pretty good game. He benefits when Tari Eason is out, as I said in the pregame show, and he did that here. Fred Van Fleet, if you had Van Fleet on your roster, if you had DeJounte Murray on your roster, and if you had DeMar DeRozan on your roster, field goal percentage, well, took a bit of a kick in the nuts today. 2 points for Van Fleet on 1 of 10 shooting. Rough night. Amen Thompson, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. This is not a 12-team line. I do think he is a hold, but I think this has a lot to do with the fact that Dylan Brooks was just playing so well. As soon as Dylan Brooks cools off, which he will, they will lean more into Amen Thompson. I'm pretty certain of that. So, yes, Amen is tough to hold. He hasn't been great at all the last few weeks. I'm still trying to hold him, though, wherever I can. And then we got some Cam Whitmore minutes, Reed Shepherd minutes, but none of those guys have any relevance. For the Raptors, as I said, RJ Barrett was a late scratch due to his illness. This was a weird one. He wasn't even on the injury report, and then he was just ruled out. So whether he was feeling better and then wasn't. Anyway, he's questionable for tomorrow night. So that's a good sign. Let's see if he plays. But with him out, Jacoby Walter started and had the game of his life, 27 points. Didn't do much else. did foul out as well, so could have had more points. 9 of 18 from the field, 6 of 11 from three. I think he had 14 of the first 15 points, something like that. It was weird. So a really good night for him. If Barrett is out again tomorrow, give Walter a look. But do remember, we have a crap ton of games tomorrow. I don't know how many. Let me have a look. 14 games. So streaming is basically impossible tomorrow. Walter was good, but if he's available and you want to grab him, you need to make sure that he's in your best 8 or 10 players tomorrow. So, speaking of bad, Scotty Barnes, 6 points on 2 of 15 shooting. The counting stats are good. Now, I actually looked up his numbers because I have him in a team and just having a look at what he's been doing. It's all about percentages, really, for Scotty Barnes. His numbers are very similar to what he was doing last year. Blocks have come down, which was always going to happen. He had 1.5 blocks per game last year. Prior to that, he was 0.8, 0.7. This year, he's back at 0.8. So I think we just view last year as an outlier. But the assists, the rebounds, the steals, the points are all basically in line with what he was doing last year. He's just shooting much worse from the field and from the line. So that will come back, I think, at some point. Once RJ Barrett is back, and then especially once Emmanuel Quickly is back, I think we see a better version of Scotty Barnes. He is a buy low, but I do think he will be okay. Grady Dick had 14 points, 2 threes. He just keeps plugging along, putting up sort of top 100 value. But the talking point, Kelly Olynyk, 25 minutes. We hadn't seen anything close to this. We'd seen 17. If he's going to play 25 minutes, I think you have to look at him. 8 points, 9 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 2 threes. This is what he does. This is why I like him so much. And I think 24 to 25 minutes is enough for him to have value. Now, obviously, this relies on Jakob Poeltl being out, but Poeltl is out tomorrow. So, yeah, I'm okay with giving Olynyk a look. The issue, obviously, as I said, tomorrow is that there are so many teams playing, so he might not be streamable, unless you just have a lot of injuries, of course. But if we get word that Poeltl is going to miss more time or anything like that, I think Olynyk is very interesting. Boucher had 15 off the bench. If you did stream him in tonight, this is about as good as you can get from old mate Chris Boucher. And the last game, now I do see questions in here. I'll get to those. Denver at New Orleans. So this is why the show was late. New Orleans got off to a good start. Denver pulled it back, went into overtime. Denver get the win, 132 to 129. Let's start with Denver. Jokic, another triple-double, 27, 13, and 10, but actually not his best game. I thought he looked very clunky and tired in the first half. Obviously, he still put up numbers, much like Joel Embiid. If he's on the floor, he's going to put up numbers. So still a very good line. 3 of 5 from the line isn't particularly bad, but I had him in one league where I think if he'd gone 5 of 5, I might have won free throws. He didn't, and I lost free throws. So can come down to that. Michael Porter Jr. Was pretty rubbish tonight. 8 points, not his best game. Aaron Gordon, very Aaron Gordon. He's a little bit PJ Washington-y. He does bits of everything. He gets some defensive stats. I'd rather PJ Washington. Jamal Murray had 27, 8 and 4. And Christian Brown played. He was questionable, I think, coming into the game. He had 10, 6 and 5. So scoring has dropped off a little bit for Christian Brown, but the minutes are still plentiful and he is doing enough to be rostered. Russell Westbrook had 21 points off the bench. He's been playing really well, probably the best we've seen him in a couple of years. Still obviously a very, very poor in terms of free throw shooting and 3-point shooting, but the supporting stats are there. He's scoring. He's getting to the basket. So, yeah, hold him. If you drafted him, well done. If you picked him up, well done. Julian Strouther had 13 points in his 20 minutes. I streamed him in tonight. It was very slim pickings when it comes to streaming. But, look, I'll take 13 points. He hit all his free throws. And for New Orleans, there we go. Trey Murphy, very good game again, 21, 8, and 3 with two steals, but he did leave the game with an ankle injury, I believe, only played 27 minutes, so keep an eye on that. But his misfortune led to a lot of Jordan Hawkins, 25 points, 5 threes, 3 blocks. I talked about him as a streaming value, streaming option if you needed threes. And we've seen Hawkins do this before. When he gets big minutes, he can score in bunches. So I would maybe hold him. I mean, that they're certainly leaning into him over Brandon Boston. Boston only played 15 minutes. So we can safely move on from him. Although, come to think of it, if Murphy misses time, Boston could just go straight back into that starting lineup. I don't think Hawkins would. I just don't think he gives them the size that they need. But I wouldn't be surprised if Boston or Javonte Green move into that starting lineup if Murphy misses time. Herb Jones had 4 steals and a block. That's what Herb does. DeJounte, 7 of 24 from the field, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. Much like Scotty Barnes, the other numbers are okay. 8 rebounds, 15 assists, 6 steals, 1 block. That's amazing. But 17 points on 7 of 24 is not. And again, I think he'll be better when they get bodies back on the floor, notably Zion and Brandon Ingram. So when that comes. So I think you just have to hold DeJounte. Eve Misi was... I thought he did really well. Really well against Jokic. Playing against Jokic is never easy. Misi held his own, 21 and 9 with 3 blocks, 2 steals. He had one big block down the stretch, which had to be reviewed, but it was pretty clearly a block. Not according to Jokic, but according to the video, it was. Misi just looks really good. I have no idea what betting lines are for Rookie of the Year. I think Misi is... He has to be in the discussion. No one else for me is doing what he's doing as consistently and playing as big a role. I know that the team sucks, which is going to hurt a little bit. But, I think Misi has been a really nice surprise. One of the benefits, well, if you want to call it a benefit, of not having Zion on the floor, it has meant that Misi has had to play a lot more minutes. So he's... development has happened quicker than they probably would have anticipated. All right, let's have a look. I think I saw some questions in here. Okay, we had the questions. Okay, drop a men for Schroeder. No, I wouldn't do that. What do I make of the Bulls Nuggets trade talk? You
make or take away from any trade talk at the moment what you will. There's so many rumors flying around. We've still got, I don't even know when the trade deadline is. Is it February normally? It's normally just before the All-Star break, I feel like. Let me have a look. I should know that date, shouldn't I? Trade deadline is February the 7th. Yeah. So we are still, 6 weeks away? We've had one trade, so I don't really pay too much attention to any trade talk yet. Would I activate IQ this week with 3 games, 2 that he's realistic shot of being back for, or wait for New Year's week? I don't know. I probably wouldn't. I think it's just too risky. Given he's had 2 injuries, I think even if he were to come back and play 2 games, he's probably only playing 20 to 25 minutes a night. So I don't think I'd be activating Emmanuel quickly this week, especially with, I think it's 16 teams have four games this week. So there are probably better options out there. Oh, here's some betting. Okay, so Castle. Why is Castle the favourite? Steph Castle, 190, Misi, 240. Yeah, I'd go Misi. And I think Castle will drop off now that Vassell is back and Sochan is back. Yeah, I don't know. I think Castle's been good, I suppose. But what would Levine do to Russ's outlook as well on the Bulls Nugget front? Well, yeah, I guess it depends if Westbrook stays or goes. He probably doesn't. It would depend who goes out from Denver. So, yeah, I mean, he would have a bit of an impact there, but it might be that he just comes straight in and plays the Michael Porter Jr. minutes if MPJ goes in the trade. We don't know. It's all speculation. Should I still try to trade Beal for Kobe White? I think based on what we know right now, I think they're pretty close. I think Kobe White probably has a little bit more upside just because of all the stuff that's happening in Chicago. Beal is sort of who Beal is at the moment. You have to remember that Beal is also a lot older than Kobe White. So I think I'd probably take Kobe White over Bradley Beal. I think that's okay. Fat Cookie Monster. I got White for Tyus, Mark Williams, and Hunter. White? Which White? Kobe White? Derek White? Not sure which White. For three players, that doesn't seem right. So you got one player, gave out three. So you got Derek White. It's a 17 league. This is your weird, where waivers are really deep. So, Tyus is probably borderline in a 17. Hunter's better in points leagues, but he's going to cool off. That's probably okay because you can probably stream some pretty good players. Do I think Oubre and Trey Murphy for DeRozan is worth it in a 17? Who are you getting? I would have Oubre and Trey Murphy in that deal. How long do we think Trey is out? I don't think it was particularly bad, so I don't know. I didn't see it. If you would get DeRozan, no, I think I'd hold Oubre and Trey Murphy. There's no word, I don't think, on. Let me just double check. Okay. All right. Anything? Yeah, it was an ankle. We know that. There's nothing from the team yet. No indication. We know that the Nuggets will be cautious here. So I would expect these games. If it's a fairly, I guess, standard, what we would call standard ankle injury, I'd think maybe 1 to 2 weeks. Has Maxi been bad enough to justify trading for Poole and Lowry? You can try it. I would keep Maxi there in that one, I think. So DeRozan has a favorable playoff schedule. Yeah, I still think I'd have the Trey Oubre side. In points league, Oubre has a lot more value. If it was a category league, I probably wouldn't. All right. That's it. Three games. Tomorrow's games show is going to be a big one. There will be a pregame show. Will be a postgame show. It is Christmas Eve here tomorrow. But I'll still do two shows. Booker, Trey, Doncic. It's a lot of injuries. I'll just bring it up so people can see how many you have. Booker, Trae Young, Doncic, Kawhi, Trey Murphy, Cam Thomas. Good news, Trey and Luka will potentially return tomorrow. They're both questionable. Booker, I think, misses another couple of games. Kawhi, who knows? Cam Thomas was reevaluated this weekend, so he could be close as well. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel, I think, there for you. So, yes, there will be a show tomorrow, post-game and pre-game. Then the next day there are no games. It's Christmas Eve in the States, Christmas Day here. Yeah, that's right. Yep. So nothing. Then for the Christmas Day games, which is Boxing Day here, I will still do a pre-game and post-game show. There'll only be five of them, but I'll do them. And that will do. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I think it's time for a coffee. I'm going to get out of here. Please go and download. Please subscribe. Do all of that stuff. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.